Matthew 19, verses 13, 14. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to put his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Thank you.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen, amen. Well, as we listen to those words being read, two things that jump out to me from the words of Matthew is Jesus said, "Don't stop the children from coming to me." This is a church that does not stop children from coming. Whether they're children that are very, very young or children that are very old, we want to welcome children into this place and make a place for them, and especially these wonderful, special children we have over here with us this morning. Also, Jesus says to us in this passage that the kingdom of God belongs to them. The kingdom of God belongs to them. Today, we are blessed to have the kingdom of God all over this place. Amen? Because the kingdom of God belongs to them. Now, as a part of this special morning, I'm going to interview some students. They're going to help me out. Come on, Mitchell and others. I've got Mitchell coming. Also, I've got... Hey, Mitchell, you're here.
Yes.
And Brent, come on.
Jeff, what are we doing in the microphone?
We're going to talk in the microphone in just a minute here. We've got Jessica and Taylor and Brent. Come on, slide over here a little bit for me.
Hey, Jeff, we're going to sing songs.
No, no songs right now. We don't. Good. Come here, Brent. All right, I'm going to ask you all some questions and let you talk to the folks here this morning. Come here, Jessica. tell them, if you could, what do you like to do for fun? What do you do for fun, Jessica?
Play basketball.
Play basketball. And you're pretty good at basketball, aren't you? Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. What do you like to do, Brent?
I like to do photography.
Photography. Okay.
As a hobby for fun.
Okay. All right. Great. Hey, let's let Taylor slide here. Slide over a little bit, Mitchell.
My favorite part is having fun on my teacher. I'm so happy. I am happy here for us. And I like playing K-pop with Matt.
Okay.
He's really cool.
Okay. Mitchell. Okay. Good. Mitchell, what do you like to do?
Go to choir practice and sing songs, the hokey pokey.
Okay. All right, sing songs. And what do you always ask me all the time? Who are you always looking for? Who are you looking for?
Pastor Bryant.
Pastor Bryant, that's right. You always, Mitchell asked me at least several times a day, where's Pastor Bryant, right? And where is Pastor Bryant? I don't know.
I'm trying to look for him.
We can't find Pastor Bryant, so he's probably somewhere. Who's your favorite preacher here?
Jeff.
Okay, there you go. All right, that's good. Now, Mitchell. Now, you also like Pastor Brian, don't you? Pastor Brian, Pastor Ed.
Pastor Ed and Pastor Faye. Pastor Faye and Jeff Cox.
And Jeff Cox, there you go. All right. Now, Mitchell, do you work here some? Do you do some work here sometimes at church? Do you help clean up at all?
Not anymore.
Okay, all right, good. All right, now tell me about Vacation Bible School, Taylor. Do you like to come to Vacation Bible School here?
Yes, I do. It's awesome. It's my dream to come here, and my family, my mom or dad, found happy for me to go to college this year. They're paying me about $50.
Okay. All right, Jessica, what do you like about Vacation Bible School?
I love to sing.
You love to sing. And how about you, Brent?
I love to sing songs at Vacation Bible School.
Okay. All right. And then what else do you like to do here at the church? When you go to Sunday school, do you learn about Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. What do you learn about Jesus?
I think a teacher is with my friends. He's awesome. I like him
okay.
a lot.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, Glenn.
What do you love about Jesus?
What I love about Jesus is reading his word.
Reading his word
in the Message Bible.
In the Message Bible. That's my favorite Bible, too. There you go. All right. Well, listen, what do you like about this church? What do you like coming to Mount Hort?
I think it's really fun, really and fun. I like it here a lot.
Okay. What do you like coming to Mount Hort for?
The Sunday school class.
Sunday school class.
And go to sanctuary and dance.
And dance, okay. All right, okay, okay. All right. What do you like coming to the church for?
Meet
your friends, meet your friends.
Meet my friends.
Okay. Now, what's your favorite team, Mitchell?
Basketball and baseball players.
Okay, all right. What's your favorite team?
My favorite team, Gamecocks.
Okay, all right.
My team is Gamecocks.
Okay.
My favorite team is Clemson. Go Tigers.
There you go. All right. Mitchell.
What?
Do you like Kentucky?
Go catch it with Clemson Tigers.
All right, all right. All right. Let's give them a hand. Thank you all so much. Good job. Thank you. Now you can imagine we had fun all weekend doing that, and they are indeed a blessing to share with you what God is doing in their lives and through the ministry of this church. With that said, we've been blessed also to hear from their family members, and I want you to watch a very special video as some of their family members share what God is doing in their lives. Watch this.
My name is
Grace.
And our sister is Emily.
My name is Justin Wortman. My little sister is Ashley Wortman, and she is my best friend. Love you, Ash.
My name is Daniel Hunt, and my sister is Anna Neal.
I'm Chris Unum.
I'm Jonathan Unum.
And our brother is Ryan.
My name's Logan. My brother is Brady.
What I find most special about Ashley is the fact that she will love me no matter what, and she'll never judge me for anything that I do wrong.
It doesn't matter where you live, what you say, what you do, like if you're rich or if you're poor. You just have the same unique experience with the same person. And, I mean, I wish that I could have a brother, but I cannot change that. So I have to compromise, which is a great compromise with my sister because she is one of the best things that I could have.
Probably how he teaches you to look in different perspectives of things.
I think that the most special thing about him is how he's meant to be different, and God has a plan for him that way.
The thing I find most special about Brady is that he just loves everyone for who they are, doesn't judge them, doesn't worry about who they are. He just loves them. Go give them a hug, smile. Just, it's the biggest thing.
Everywhere we go, she always meets somebody new, and she's always giving the people at Chick-fil-A hugs because everybody at Chick-fil-A knows Emily, and we get a lot of free ice cream from there.
My favorite memory with her is we went on a cruise with, and we went on a slide, and she just loved it so much. Her smile was bigger than I could ever imagine, and that was a memory that I can never forget about it.
This is weird. Jonathan was just born, and we were in a hospital, and I was looking over him like this, and then Ryan couldn't see him, and so he tried to pinch me. Just right as John.
And my favorite memory was when Ryan tried to eat my paper plate ghost, so I stopped him before he could eat the parts with pencil.
My favorite memory of Emily is when she said my name for the very first time, and when she also said her first words, which was ice cream.
My favorite memory of Ashley is taking her to her first toy prom 2 years ago and seeing her in her nice gown and taking her out to dinner and taking pictures and dancing all night was probably one of the highlights of my life.
My favorite memory is when we went to Gatlinburg, Tennessee to go see the lightning bugs. And it was like 2 o'clock in the morning and my whole family went to IHOP. And I was about to fall asleep. I was so tired. But Brady was like talking his ear off, or talking our ears off. He was just talking crazy. And I was falling asleep on my pancakes, but he was having the time of his life at IHOP, 2 o'clock in the morning. So.
I've learned that a lot of people are good and bad at different things. And however many difficulties that Ryan has, he has strengths, too, that he can use better than people to, like, kind of, like, even out his disability.
The biggest thing I learned from Brady is probably to love unconditionally, no matter who they are. Don't judge them. Just whoever they are, take them in and just love them.
What I've learned from Emily is that people with special needs are different, but that's the way God made them, and we should treat them fairly and kindly, and treat them the way that we would want to be treated, and they would probably treat us that way back.
Ashley has taught me that life has a purpose and like a real meaning, and that life is bigger than just yourself, and that caring for other people is a really big deal.
One thing I'd say to Brady is just stay the person you are. Everybody loves him for who he is, so if he just stays who he is, it's perfect.
You might think that we don't understand you, and you might think that we don't think you're much of a good part of the family, though you're a great part, and everything about you can be loving.
I would say that you're the best thing that's ever happened to me, and that you are nice, generous, loving, everything that I could ever dream of, and that I love you as a sister and as a friend.
That she's really sweet and loving and really kind to others, and she treats people the way that she wants to be treated. And she likes everybody she goes to meet, and she loves us really, like, a lot.
I wish people understood that it makes your job as an older brother that much more important. You know, having a little sister that has special needs that can't always, you know, look out for themselves in certain situations, that almost makes me like a third parent in a sense.
It's just a disability. I mean, they're different than you and I. Just, they're the same. They all have feelings. They all care. So just view them as the same as you and I.
As we continue to celebrate today, I want to invite a couple parents up to be with me today, a couple families. Dan and Lori Unams are going to come, and Rob and Bob and Rebecca Essinger, if they would come, please. You guys come on up. Give them a hand as they come up. Well, these folks are a part of Mount Horeb, and they've certainly participated in our special needs ministry, and we want to just hear from them for a few minutes. And we just heard a very powerful video of some of your kids and what God is doing in their lives. So what's special about having a child that is special needs? How's God revealed that to you and helped you grow into that?
The special thing is that it's given me a new testimony from the Lord. It's how the Lord has used him to give me a new testimony. If I could, I'd like to have a little introduction
about
who my son is.
Sure, absolutely.
Rebecca.
Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try to do it. Jim was born in 2002. He was a healthy baby. He weighed 9 pounds. He met all of his milestones. He started to crawl early. He walked early. He even started to talk. But then at about the age of 12 months, he began to lose speech. We saw regression. So our journey began. We began with developmental pediatricians, places all over the country, I think. But anyway, we were received our diagnosis of autism when Jim was 2.5 years old. And at that time, we were attending another church in the community that my husband was raised in, and we were very happy. And Jim was outgrowing the preschool type of Sunday school classes. He was getting too big. But then there was no place for Jim. There was no place for Jim. And so we started taking turns going to church. And we have another little girl, Jordan, who's a couple of years younger than Jim. And so one Sunday I would take her, the next Sunday Bob would take her, and one would stay home. Until we found out about Mount Horeb, and so we decided to try it. And we will never, ever, ever forget our first day at Mount Horeb when we walked in and they welcomed Jim and they were happy to see Jim. And it really just changed us as a family. We are now able to attend a church as a family where before we couldn't. And those precious people in that Sunday school class, I don't know if they really realize what an impact they have on people's lives that have a child with special needs. And we want to say thank you to them. And I'm going to let you finish.
Our son is a pretty tough nut. We had him in here earlier, but he had to leave out early. He couldn't stay here with the rest. And that's been a challenge to us. But in that same time, the blessing that Jeff is asking about is when he looks at you directly in his eyes sometime, when he looks at you directly. And it's hard for a child with autism to do that, but he will do that. He will, on occasion, he'll look at you and smile at you. It makes it all worthwhile. But it gives you just a whole new testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that he can work in and through all things. I don't know that I would necessarily say a lot of times that it's a blessing to have a special needs child, but I can tell you this, the Lord does use it, and he will use it for his glory.
Amen, amen. All right.
Well, and I'll give a little introduction as well. Our son is Ryan, and he's 14. He was born in 2001, diagnosed with severe autism when he was 22 months old, and he's sort of similar to Jim. We know the Esslingers, and our kids have been in school together at various times. And likewise, he was up here singing with the crew, which was wonderful, but then he turned and started pinching Beth, who was up here with him, and he gets aggressive at some times. And Dan was at the ready to run up and grab him if necessary, but Beth handled it. And the workers in that Sunday school class and throughout this church, the volunteers, are such a blessing in our lives. We had a similar experience to the Esslingers I'm from Lexington originally, but we met in Washington, D.C., and when we were looking to move back here, we were looking for a church family and tried several different churches around Lexington. And I'll never forget one experience that we had at a church that had said it was special needs friendly. We were visiting and we sat up in the balcony. There was no Sunday school class for Ryan to go to, so we took him with us into the balcony. And he sometimes makes noises. He kind of goes, ch-ch-ch, or d-d-d-d, can't really help it. And we almost don't even hear it anymore. We're so used to it. We don't hear it, but we know that you do. But we were up in the balcony, and he was making those noises. We hardly noticed. And in the middle of the sermon, the pastor stopped and said, "Would whoever is making that noise kindly stop?" And I just wanted to crawl out from the pew and I did burst into tears. And it was just awful. And so we didn't choose that church home as our family. But you know, here's the thing is I believe that in their hearts they meant to be special needs friendly. But the difference about this church is you all go out and figure out what it takes to actually be special needs friendly and to build the programming and have the activities that make it possible for us to attend and enjoy being part of this community and part of this church. And the warmth and the welcoming that we feel, it's just great. When Ryan makes noises here, Pastor Jeff just goes with the flow and, you know, there's Ryan or there's Reuben or whatever, and the rest of you don't turn and sneer. You turn and shrug and send a smile our way, and that makes a huge difference in our lives.
Dan, you want to come over?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories. So Lori stole my thunder on that, but did a great job with it. And we'd actually had an experience with a little church that when we used to live in Charleston, that was a little church on Isle of Palms, and they were super welcoming. And Ryan used to dive bomb the altar in the middle of the service, and it was okay. So they were very open. And he was three, so it was a little different when he's 14. But the thing is, they didn't have any programming. There was not a Sunday school. There was not a place for Ryan. So even if we could attend church, there still was that critical thing missing, which Mount Horeb has provided, is to actually have a place and a community that Ryan can go to and be part of while we also get to be part of church. So that, I think, is what's huge in what you all have done and has been amazing. And, I can't begin to go back and talk and love to sometime all the spiritual issues and what you go through with a child with special needs, especially someone who's severely affected. But the bottom line is that I think we are blessed so much because there's no question about what's our purpose, what's God's purpose for us. It's crystal clear to us. We engage in that in our professional lives. My wife and I both work for Autism Speaks, which is the big national autism organization helping folks around the country. We started an autism treatment clinic here in South Carolina. My wife got a piece of legislation passed in South Carolina that's named after our son and that now has been passed in some 42 states across the country. None of this is our doing. I mean, it's God's doing, working through us, working through Lori, and we're blessed for that because we know what that purpose is. And God's movement and presence in our life is palpable on a day-to-day basis because with all the challenges we face, we could not get along without that. So we are blessed.
Okay, thank you.
I would just like to say a special reason why we're so thankful about Mount Horeb is with our son, we really couldn't have him here anyway. Not in the service because he really would be disruptive. But you know, he's generally a very, very sweet fellow, but we still know and want him to hear the Word of God. And with this department that we have here, he is getting the Word of God. Now, we don't know how it is affecting him because he's not able to tell us. But, you know, before, we'd have a shadow with him, but he was not able to stay in a class. So, and now that he is in a class and he gets to hear the name of Jesus, I tell you what, that's just a praise to me. I mean, we try to do it as a family, but as they do it in a class and so simple, and that even Jim gets, well, at least he hears the word, and it's got to make a difference because the name of Jesus is so powerful.
Amen.
That's a great point, Bob. And also I'd like to add that the ministry for the siblings, I mean, Mount Horeb has a wonderful, renowned children's ministry generally, but the fact that you recognize the siblings in that wonderful video, and it does have such an impact on their lives as well. My second grader, Jonathan, is prone to ask all kinds of questions. He's just a very questioning child. The other day he asked me, who gave God his name? But a couple weeks ago,
we'll find Pastor Brian for that.
Yeah, where's Pastor Brian, right? a couple weeks ago, he came and he said, Mom, why does God let autism be? That's exactly how he asked it. Why does God let autism be? And he said, I know it's kind of the same question that people ask about sickness and cancer and other diseases, but with those other diseases, people sometimes die early, which gives them which sends them to God's kingdom. They're in heaven, and so they're in a better place. But with autism, you just live with it your whole life, and Ryan struggles with it so much. So why does God let autism be? You all are helping him to grapple with those questions. I didn't have the answer, of course, but I love that this church acknowledges the siblings and the difficulties and the spiritual struggles that they have and attempts to address those.
And you don't have to ever say, you know, God picks out special people for special needs. We place it in God's hands, whatever his direction. Maybe for him, maybe not. I'd like to think not, actually, to be quite honest. But like I said, he can use it, and he does. He's done it to change our lives, though our lives are much more difficult. If you've never been in that position before, that, you know, before I had a special needs child, I had no idea what it was like. Until you've been in that position and actually have a child that's special needs, you don't know what it takes just on a day-by-day journey just to get their teeth brushed, get them clothed and that sort of thing. It's tough, but at the same time, the message that God and how he's growing us in and through this is amazing as well. So, we're quite privileged in that. And the new friends that we have also gotten here from Mount Horeb as well, I can definitely speak of the choir and Jack and all of my friends that I've gotten to know up there. So it's interesting where God places you in the midst of all this as well.
Amen, amen. Well, it's great to have these folks here in Mount Horeb and their families. And let's give all these folks over here a hand that are here with us this morning. Thank you all. And I would just like to ask if any folks here have volunteered, serve in this important ministry, whether it's in Vacation Bible School, Special Needs Basketball, Sunday School, Respite Ministry. Would you stand so we can also thank you for volunteering and serving? Would you stand? In the balcony up there. Thank you. Thank you. Again, thank you all so much for sharing with us today. And again, God bless you, and thank you for what you're doing. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You know, the questions that come from special needs, as Lori shared, we don't have all the answers. But some things that I've learned in my time in ministry and working with special needs families and children and adults is that I know that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is there with these children and with these adults and with these families in ways that sometimes we can't even begin to comprehend. So I believe that God's grace is sufficient. The second thing I believe is that there is great joy in their hearts and lives. There's great joy from knowing that God is with them. You know, the kingdom of God belongs to them. That is a great, great blessing. You know, whenever I was a pastor in Conway, and early on in my ministry, I got to know Tony. Tony was a special needs adult who was 42 years old, and then I got to do his service of celebration of his life when we remembered him and as we celebrated his entrance into heaven and the fullness of God's grace. And as I was getting ready for that message, the Lord laid on my heart that I was doing a sermon, a service for a 42-year-old guy who was perfect. In God's eyes, he was without sin. He was perfect in God's sight, in God's eye. And I knew that everything was well in his soul, that his soul was well. And today, if you hear nothing else from this service, today I want you to know that no matter what your station in life is, no matter what challenges you have in your life, the most important thing is for your soul to be well. And I think these children, these families, would want that to be the message you receive today, that you could have your soul made well today by the power of Almighty God that has touched the lives of these children. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, I thank you for the stories, the celebrations, the experiences we've had throughout this weekend, reminding us that you tell us to don't stop the children. Let the children come. And Lord God, I pray you would bless these children, these families, and every child that comes into this place. Lord God, we know that the kingdom of God belongs to them. And Father God, may the kingdom that belongs to them, may that same kingdom bless us all. And may we also become part of your kingdom. And Father God, we thank you that their souls are well. And Lord God, if there's anyone here today who's wondering if their soul is well, that they too can find your grace to meet their needs. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.